more.
Welcome to this Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. You know, trouble comes to every home. When it does, will your children be ready? Pastor and author Patrick Schwenk is here to show us how to plant faith in the hearts of our kids. So when a crisis hits, they won't be shaken, they'll be strengthened.
Strengthening you and your family. Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast with your host, Arlene Pellicane.
Whether it's a coronavirus, a bully from school, a diagnosis, video game addiction, financial trouble, you know, there are so many things that can threaten the spiritual health of a family. But as a parent, there is something you can do to strengthen your child and plant faith with deep roots. And, you know, to help us in this journey of faith, we're going to hear my friend, pastor and author Patrick Schwenk. So excited to have Pat on the podcast today. He's been a pastor for nearly 20 years. He and his wife Ruth founded the popular blog For the Family, and they've co-authored several books, including For Better or For Kids, A Vow to Love Your Spouse with Kids in the House. And the subject of today's conversation is based on the Faith Forward Family Devotional, which is their newest. Patrick has a Doctor of Ministry from my alma mater, Biola University. He and Ruth live in Michigan with their four kids. They have an amazing family, and I'm just so excited for you to hear what Pat shares today. Let's get started. Pat, it is so good to have you on the Happy Home Podcast. And, you know, one thing that sometimes we stumble over is family devotions and prayer and worship. You know, we want to do it. Our intention is to do it, but we get busy and we don't know how to weave it in. Kind of give us a clue. Tell us, like, how many kids you have, what things have worked and what maybe things haven't worked.
Yeah. So Ruth and I have been married for just over 21 years now. So our kids are 17, 15, 13, and 11. So we kind of have a fairly broad, age group there. And so, when our kids were younger, in many ways, it was almost easier to do family devotions because they weren't as distracted. And
right.
So we would oftentimes set aside time each night, usually before bed, and we would read a Bible story to them and pray with them. And that time didn't have to be terribly long. I mean, I think when our kids were younger, it was just as simple as that. It was just making it a priority, to read a Bible story. And we had so many different children's Bibles and storybook Bibles. There's just so many great resources out there. And we've used a lot of those over the years. And I think especially when our kids are young, just establishing that priority, but also that pattern. As our kids got older, kind of the tweens and the teens, we really had that rhythm already established. And so, that's something we still do. It's something we do over the dinner table or around the dinner table. Sometimes we'll do it at night. And it looks differently now that our kids are older. We tend to do family devotions together now with all of our kids, where when our kids were younger, we were generally doing it one at a time.
Yeah.
And so we just love now that our kids are getting older. 11-year-old and a 17-year-old are far enough apart, but they're also close enough in age that there's just some great dialogue, that happens.
Yeah. I think about the devotional that Ruth wrote with Karen Eman, Pressing Pause. And our country has been through this time of a pandemic where families have certainly pressed pause. It's like all of a sudden everything came to a stop.
Right.
So what advice would you give to the family that finds a little bit of extra time on their hands? You know, it's so easy to instead, get another streaming service and just, hey, let's watch this. But what are ways that we could take advantage of this time?
Yeah, Ruth and I have talked a lot about that over the last couple of weeks. We went from being incredibly, when I say we as a culture, but also as a family, we went from being extremely busy to now you hear people talking about how bored they are, and so we've kind of swung from one extreme to the other. And so Ruth and I have been talking a lot about like what a great time this is for the church, for families to really recalibrate, to refocus, to maybe establish new rhythms, new patterns that they didn't have before, or maybe to reestablish some of those patterns that in those busy seasons, whatever circumstances a family found themselves in, this is a great time to kind of press pause, but also really press reset and to come out of this time with a new focus and new habits, new practices that really will hopefully by God's grace help pass on faith to the next generation. And so, I think one of the fruits that I think is going to come out of this time is that you have families that are spending a lot more time together today than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago, before COVID-19. And so I think it's a really ideal time to really, as a family, say, hey, let's begin just setting aside 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day to do a devotion together. Maybe it's reading through a book of the Bible together, praying together. I mean, coming face to face, let's put the phones away, let's put the tablets away, and let's just be together and let's open up God's word. And I think that can be so simple and yet have such a profound impact on a child's life over the course of their time in our home.
Absolutely. And I even want to put the bar a tiny bit shorter, that even if you start, because sometimes when we haven't done it and we start, it's a bit overwhelming. But if you say, hey, we're going to take five, and every day we're going to take five, and then you take those 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden, once you have that pattern and you are used to that, then it's like, okay, now this takes us 10 minutes, or we expand out to 15 minutes or whatever. So if you're listening and you're just like, you know what, we will just start with 5 minutes, that is better than nothing. And the point is establishing that habit. Like, you have to eat at some point. So I think linking it to eating is really good, because your kids will all come around that table.
Who doesn't like to eat?
Who doesn't like to eat? So, those kinds of things. And I will give a personal disclosure that our family, we did, it was like you're saying, when they were young, it was so easy. It was bedtime and it was these stories and it was fantastic. And I will attest that now that pattern is in place, that my sophomore in high school, then every night I see him reading his Bible before he goes to bed, because that was the pattern, that was the habit. So that's the hope out there, that your kids are going to take this and use it themselves. But we don't, the five of us, don't sit down very regularly, all five of us, for a devotion. And in fact, we were having dinner with some dear friends who had said to us, this is, a few months ago, who had said to us, hey, we're going to have a family devotion. Would that be okay? And we're like, oh yeah. So we did, really more of a really good in-depth family devotion. And at the end of it, my son goes, Mom, I'm glad we don't do that. But here's my point, is that you kind of know your kids, that for me, it works for myself to do it with the girls. Sometimes I do it with my girls together, and sometimes I do it one-on-one with the girls, and then my son will do it with my husband, and they'll go through the Proverbs, for instance. So you can kind of be creative with how this will work with your children, with their personalities, etc. And even as a single parent, thinking through, how can I do this? Maybe there is a same gender person, a teacher, a pastor, a trusted friend who can disciple my child, and they can, grab ice cream once a week, whatever it is. But you're just thinking, how can I nurture my child's spiritually on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's so good. I think, Ruth and I talk so often about, we all go through different seasons. And so how we do devotions and, how we try to pass on faith to our kids looks different in each of those seasons. And, when we were, all of our kids played basketball this past year. And so it was just like from December through the end of January, our lives were chaotic. And so we weren't sitting down together as a family every night. And so oftentimes we were having spiritual conversations on the way to a practice, or leaving a Sunday morning message or worship time at church. You're just talking about the service, talking about the sermon. And so you're just looking for those ways in real life, in real time, in that relationship that you've established with your child or your children, to just talk about your relationship with God and to pass on faith. I think that's, when you look at Deuteronomy 6, there's that foundational passage, and God loves the family. The family is one of the primary ways that God desires to pass on faith to the next generation. But it happens relationally. It happens in the everyday. And sometimes it happens in a structured devotional time. And sometimes it happens on the way to a basketball practice.
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a good reminder. And different seasons are busier, they're crazier. And so it doesn't always look perfect by any means. And so we have to have grace with ourselves for sure.
Yeah. And there's that intentionality of trying to bring it in whenever we can. You know, my kids will be like, oh boy, here mom's going to state something spiritual now out of this Jello. You know, like, because they're right. So used to the mothers like looking at that. Oh, there is a spiritual
Here's
lesson in that.
That's right.
So you and Ruth have this beautiful new devotional, Faith Forward Family Devotional. It's beautiful in how it looks and beautiful in content. And I just want you to give that word of advice. Maybe there's a mom listening who's like, oh, you know, I like doing these devotionals, but my husband, he's not really into it. What's a winning way for a wife to invite her husband to either be involved in devotions with the family or to lead?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first of all, we wrote Faith Forward Family Devotional because we wanted something that was simple and practical that would help a mom or a dad or a whole family with kids of all ages go through the entire Bible. So Faith Forward is made up of 100 different devotions from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. And each devotion is fairly short. It has a key verse, it has, you know, a key idea, and then it has discussion questions that are appropriate for somebody who's maybe 6 or 7 or 8, but also somebody that's 14, 15, 16. Mm-hmm. So we tried to write a resource that would really appeal to anybody. I think sometimes people want to pass, or a parent wants to pass on faith,
yeah,
but they don't know how to. They feel intimidated by that. And so we wanted to take some of the fear out of passing on faith. Ruth and I wrote it during a really difficult season for us. I had been diagnosed with cancer not long before I started writing this. And so the urgency to write this just increased as time went on. And I feel like that, you know, all of us as parents, we have such a short, small, you know, window of opportunity to impact our kids while they're in our home. And we'll go on impacting our kids, you know, certainly long after they leave our home. But that window of opportunity really is closing. And so you don't have to have cancer to sense that urgency. But I began to sense that in a new way, in a fresh way. And so I just would encourage parents that are listening, like, you have such an incredible opportunity, and we want to empower you and equip you with this resource to help pass on faith to your kids. And you don't have to be intimidated by that.
Yeah. And I'd love for you to just share about your cancer journey, because I think there are many listeners who are currently in a crisis or who will be facing a crisis very soon. Like, I would love just to ask, like, when you were going through that, did one or many of your children, you know, how did you respond when they would say something like, God, like, how could God do this to you, Daddy? Like, you serve God, Daddy, and you're faithful. Why are you so sick? Like, how, take us to those kinds of moments.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed in January of 2018. And I have always been sort of accused of being a hypochondriac. I always felt like I was injuring my neck, you know, sleeping. I was over the age of 40. So like everything sort of hurts.
Right.
And so people have already accused me of being, you know, a bit of a hypochondriac, but I knew something was wrong. I'd known for at least 5-6 months that something was wrong with my body. And so long story short, I ended up going through a series of testing and was diagnosed with a type of blood cancer in January of 2018, went through, you know, 5 months of frontline treatment, trying to kick back the cancer as far as they could. And then in July and then October of that year, went through two different stem cell transplants to put the cancer in remission. And so by God's grace, the cancer is in remission currently, and I'm on maintenance medication. I will likely be on maintenance medication forever to hopefully keep that at bay. But, you know, when I called, there were several people that I called.
Yeah.
Right away. And two of them were my sisters. I have two older sisters who are 10 and 11 years older. And I was getting off the phone with my oldest sister, and she said something to me at the time that didn't sound like encouragement at the time, but as I thought about it, I thought, oh, that's so wise. But she said to me just before she hung up, she said, you know, all eyes are on you.
Mm.
And what she meant by that is that for 20 years, you've been preaching and teaching God's word, and you've been leading your family. Now people are going to be watching you. They've listened to you. Now they're going to be watching you. And so that was so important for, I feel like God gave us that word before I went into the house and encountered my kids.
Wow.
And so that was sort of the first step. It was this realization that our kids, they learn by what we teach them from the Bible. They learn by the devotions we take them through. But we should never waste the suffering that God allows in our life. And for me, that was cancer. For somebody, it might be a miscarriage, a job loss. Everybody's suffering is unique. And so I think Ruth and I, from early on, wanted our suffering to be used by God. And we wanted our kids to see us trust God, walk with God, love God, serve God, and continue to be faithful to Him, no matter what the outcome was. And I remember sitting in our family room several days after the diagnosis, and we had to tell our kids something. And they knew we were upset, and we hadn't told them everything at that point. And so we sat them down. There were a couple things I told them. And I essentially said, I want you to remember that God is good, that God is faithful, that God is going to use this. He's going to grow us through this. And so, let's pay attention to how God grows us closer to one another and closer to Him. And then the third thing I said was watch the church, watch how the church takes care of us, during this time. And I want you to see how beautiful Jesus is, but I want you to see how beautiful Jesus's people are. Excuse me. Sorry. I apologize for getting emotional,
but no, it's fine.
So we went into our suffering in that way. And so passing on faith during that season, looked so different for us.
Yeah.
And it felt so different, and there were scary moments, and there were moments that, you know, certainly our kids saw us wrestle with questions and cry and all of those things, but hopefully by God's grace, they have seen us persevere and endure, and they've seen us, you know, keep our eyes on Jesus through it all. And I think that is just as important, if not more important, than sitting down and doing devotions, you know, every night. That in and of itself is a great devotion. Our lives are that. And so that was sort of our perspective going through that in those early days.
My goodness, that is amazing. Like, if we think of what crisis we're going through and think of your sister's words, all eyes are on you, that, you know, okay, our kids are watching. How am I going to respond? And pay attention to what God does, because sometimes we can be so sad that we miss it, and it's okay to be sad, but just to have that expectation of, okay, wait a minute, let's see what God does. And sometimes, you know, being a parent, it makes you a better person. You know, alone, we might wallow, but when we have children following us, we realize, okay, we got to step up and say, hey, yet He slay me, I will yet praise Him. And though there is no, you know, fruit on the bud, I will still praise God, you know? And so for those kinds of things for them, what a powerful thing for you to show to your children, and that they will always remember God helped my dad.
Yeah. And we have been so grateful for the way God has shown up in our lives and just how kind the Lord has been. So for our kids to see that and experience that has been so transformative in their lives. And I think, you know, one other thing I would say about that really quickly is, I think as a parent, you know, the time to prepare your kids for suffering is before suffering hits. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just sort of one more reason, you know, as we think about passing on faith, it's one more reason, one more motivation for us really to be diligent in training our kids and equipping our kids and shepherding them, you know, guiding them in God's word, is because all of us at some point are going to go through difficult things, and our kids are going to experience that. And so I think walking through that and really still being in that, you know, Ruth and I were so thankful that we started that foundation. We began building that foundation early on.
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a good reminder for parents as well. Again, not that it's ever too late, but it's just another reminder that we want to begin preparing our kids, training them, shepherding them, and teaching them who God is, so that when those suffering or when suffering comes into our life, and it will, they're much more prepared to respond to that and endure that and persevere in that, because they know the heart of God, they know God's character. And so that was, I think, for us, another thing that we were just reminded of during that season.
Well, what you were saying is so important, because if the children only think, oh, God is love and unicorns and happy and popcorn, then when things bad happen, they say, wait a minute. But then you say, look at David. You know, you know about David and Goliath, but do you know that the king was trying to kill David? Do you know that he was like hiding for his life? Do you think he lived in a cave for years? These are very hard, awful things.
Yeah.
And that our kids would understand that, oh, following Jesus may involve a lot of persecution.
Sure.
It might involve standing alone. It might require courage and sacrifice and being set apart and holy. And I'm ready for that, you know, as much as possible, that they know that that's part of the deal.
Yep.
So, wow, that's really good. Do you have any closing thoughts for, you know, those who are going through a crisis because of this COVID-19, just things that how you are going through this, having gone through a crisis already, right? And emerging, what kind of insights you have as you look at today's landscape?
Yeah, I would just say, and it's nothing probably unique or super profound, maybe nothing that your listeners don't know already. But I guess I would remind myself and remind those that are listening that any bad that happens in our life is always tethered to the good that God wants to do. Mm. And so point to any place in the Bible, any verse in the Bible that addresses trials or suffering. And what you'll notice is that it's always tethered in some way. It's connected to some kind of good that God wants to do in us or in his people. And so I would just encourage those that are listening that whatever it is you're walking through, whether it's the COVID-19 crisis, whether it's something personal for you, a job loss, a loved one who is sick, you're wrestling with health issues, that God oftentimes allows difficult seasons because he wants to do something good in us. And for whatever reason, God's wisdom, he often uses those painful seasons to really purify us. He uses hard seasons to make us more holy. He wants to give more of his life to us. And I am not the same person I was 2 years ago before cancer. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't the same person I was 5 years ago. And to those that are listening, I would just encourage you that what God wants more than anything is he's inviting you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with him. And that's good. That's really good. And so God wants life for us. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. And I think when we respond in difficult seasons by drawing close to God, drawing close to him and opening our heart to his love and his truth and his promises, he changes us and we experience more and more of that life that he wants for us.
We serve such an awesome God. Wasn't that an amazing interview? I was so blessed to have that conversation with Patrick Schwenk. And you know, one of the things that he said stuck with me that I think is worth highlighting once more. Any bad that happens in our life is always tethered to the good God wants to do. Wow. So you might be here, whether it's coronavirus, work trouble, marriage trouble, kids talking back to you trouble, wherever you are, just remember any bad thing that happens in our life, it's tethered to the good God wants to do. You know, Patrick spoke those words, and let's just remember, here's a guy, a cancer diagnosis, 2 stem cell transplants. He's got a wife, he's got 4 kids. You know, that is a tough spot. And yet in that place, he can say any bad thing that happens in our life is always tethered to the good God wants us to do. So like Patrick, let's take those words. Hey, let's watch the church. What does the church do in crisis? Let's watch God. How is he going to grow us? You know, and let's remember as parents that all eyes are on us. Our kids are watching to see how do we respond to crisis. And may we respond in such a way that honors God and that shows, hey, we will love God no matter what. Well, maybe you need some encouragement yourself and you want to plant those roots down and you're not sure how to get started. I highly suggest Patrick and Ruth Schwenk's new devotional. You'll find 100 devotions in it. Super easy to go through them. Super biblical and fun. Faith Forward Family Devotional is the title by Patrick and Ruth Schwenk. And to learn more about Patrick and his wife, Ruth, you can visit forthefamily.org. That's forthefamily.org. As always, I'm so happy and privileged, honored to have you listening to the podcast. I'd love to connect with you on my Instagram page, Facebook. It's Arlene Pelican, author on Facebook, Arlene Pelican on Instagram. And you know, I have a resource on social media and also on my website, arlenepelican.com, a set of daily videos that go along with my book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. So for every chapter in the book, there is a free video that correlates with it so that if you are a weary mom right now, you can just hop on and in a few minutes every day, you can get revved up, charged up, get your action step for the day. Let me pray for you over the day. And I think it's a wonderful way for us to connect. So again, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom is a book study that we're going through. And those videos are available on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and my website is arlenepelican.com. Well, if you have enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment and write a quick review. Let's enjoy less tech and more life. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.